The recent airstrikes in Syria are a reminder of the scope of military reach around the world. And there's new research that shows the U.S. conducted counterterrorism operations in 85 countries from 2018 through 2020. The data comes from the Costs of War Project at Brown University's Watson Institute. Researcher Stephanie Savelle is co-director of the project and joins us. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much.
So I think most Americans know that we're carrying out military operations in countries like Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq, but that's just three. And you say the American military has been carrying out counterterrorism operations in more than 80 other countries. So give us some other examples of where these operations are happening.
So, for example, in Kenya in 2020, there was a Al-Shabaab raid on an airfield in Manda Bay. That's a military base that's important for U.S. counterterrorism in Somalia. And that raid killed one service member and two contractors. And in the process, U.S. service members and contractors were engaging in direct firefight with those militant groups. Another example is Nigeria. Not too long ago, also in 2020, there was a special forces that conducted a hostage rescue mission. It killed at least six of the captors. And the reason we were so quick to step in that case was that the U.S. was worried that the group that kidnapped this hostage was going to sell the hostage to either Al-Qaeda, the affiliate of Al-Qaeda, or ISIS in the area. Somalia, Mali, Yemen, we have examples of eight different countries in which U.S. troops engaged in that kind of on-the-ground, boots-on-the-ground combat in the past few years.
I see. So eight where Americans are involved in combat, and then seven other countries, according to your data, where we were carrying out air or drone strikes. And I'm wondering if you saw a trend there. I mean, do you see a heavier reliance in recent years on drone strikes and missile strikes rather than ground troops?
Oh, absolutely. The ground troops are more rare and certainly more rare to find a record of them. We were combing through kind of public records, including investigative journalism. There was definitely an uptick in air and drone strikes, especially during the Trump administration. And places like Somalia, there are huge increase in numbers of drone strikes. But also we're seeing air and drone strikes in, of course, Afghanistan and Iraq, Libya, Pakistan, Syria, Yemen. So seven countries we documented in all in the past 3 years where we've been conducting direct air and drone strikes ourselves.
This sounds like very comprehensive research, Stephanie, but as you say that you're relying on public records and some journalism in some cases, is it also possible that there were some operations that we still don't know about?
Absolutely. We were actually very conservative in the data points that we selected for this map. So we say at least 85 countries, and it is very likely that there were points that we didn't capture, because a lot of this, the U.S. government is not transparent about a lot of this. There's not like you can go to a website and find out, where have we undertaken counterterror operations? I think of it as, kind of an octopus, like the head of the counterterror operations are in the Middle East. And then there's kind of dozens of tentacles stretching all across the globe from Mali to the Philippines, all these places where we're undertaking operations that the American public really just, doesn't usually find out about.
And just so that we're clear on your definition of counterterror operations, what else are you counting besides combat and airstrikes?
So those are the places where those are the most kind of intense actions that we documented on the map. Where the numbers come in are in the other categories. We documented 41 countries in which the U.S. conducted military exercises in the name of counterterrorism. So this is when the U.S. military conducts a training exercises with a foreign military that's either intended to deter militants or prepare that foreign military, for a counterterror operation. That was 41 countries. And then 79 in which we documented the U.S. carrying out training and assistance in counterterrorism. And this is carried out not just by the Department of Defense, but also the Department of State, Justice, Homeland Security. So lots of civilian agencies are involved in these kind of counterterrorism training and assistance. And that ranges, there's a huge range, anything from you know, training police forces to better operate in counterterror operations, to installing a border patrol system that's connected to a global database of terrorists.
You know, the sprawl that you're describing, Stephanie, is really striking, particularly in contrast to that of China, because we often hear that China is the biggest threat to the United States, and yet China's military reach doesn't even come close to our own. In fact, China has just one overseas military base. It's in Africa. So what does that tell you?
So China's going at things from a really different tactic. It's cutting economic deals, it's building roads and infrastructure, it's building influence in different ways. The U.S. is relying on this very old-fashioned approach of a kind of empire-like physical presence. We hear a lot about the Pentagon shifting its strategic focus to competition with Russia and China rather than counterterrorism. But if you look at the physical kind of footprint of where these actions are taking place all around the world, you see that there's yet to be a corresponding drawdown of the counterterror apparatus.
You know, Stephanie, this year we're going to mark the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And in that time, the U.S. launched what is known as the War on Terror. Can you give us a sense of the human cost that we've experienced in the last couple of decades?
Cost of War Project research has shown that we've lost more than 800,000 lives in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, and Yemen over the course of these years. Those are some of the major hotspots. And those are just the direct loss through bombs and bullets. We've lost countless more through the indirect reverberating effects, things like displacement, loss of livelihood, loss of infrastructure, the growth, the increase of diseases. So we're really talking about millions of people who have died as a result of these wars.
And that's the blood half of the blood and treasure phrase that we hear so often attached to war. So help us also understand the treasure half of that. It's really hard to get around the amount of money that's been spent on the war on terror. What did you find?
It's such a huge number. We can't even grasp it. $6.4 trillion since 2001. That is, it's including things like our commitment to care for veterans of the post 9/11 wars. It's including the interest that we're spending on borrowing for these wars. These are really credit card wars. We've paid for them largely through borrowing. So this $6.4 trillion, and now it's even greater. Probably the next time we come out with an estimate, it's going to be closer to seven, is just a huge amount of taxpayer money, so much that it's affecting every other budget item in this country. So if you think about the spending that we are able to do on things like the pandemic and anything else, housing, you name it, it's all being squeezed by the amount of money that we spend on the military and on these post 9/11 wars.
And so your research documents foreign activities through the end of 2020. And I'm mindful that 6 days into 2021, we had an insurrection at our own Capitol building, which I think really underscored the threat posed by domestic extremists instead of foreign terrorists. So I'm curious whether you think that might actually be the biggest threat we face.
Absolutely. We have to. I think what this research shows is that we need to kind of fundamentally rethink, are these post 9/11 wars and the vast costs in blood and treasure that are coming with them, are they meeting our goals of protecting Americans, of protecting civilians around the world? And research really points to the fact that treating terrorism as a problem that can be solved by war is not an effective way of going about it. It's been completely counterproductive by some measures. There are more terrorist groups than there were before 9/11. There are more recruits to those groups in more parts of the world. So we really just need to ask those big questions and think about new ways of understanding what safety really means for the U.S.
Stephanie Savelle is co-director of the Costs of War Project at Brown University's Watson Institute. There's a link to her research at hereandnow.org. Stephanie, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.